that, something's wrong with you, brother. Amen. Well, we have a special guest, Brother Greg Kirkland, is here today with him and his family, and he's been a church member for a long time before he moved off to preach in another church. He's been in evangelism for as long as I've known him, preaching cowboy churches and other places, sharing the gospel of Christ in a lot of different formats. And then finally, the Lord called him to preach at Burnham Church in Jennings, Florida, and so we're thankful to have him today. He was here, I don't know, how long have you been here, a church member, when you first started? 20 years, 15 years, I don't know, a long time. He came on a night when we were having a church business meeting. I had service in the church business meeting. We usually don't have any trouble at all in business meetings. They just fly by so smooth. It's just really good. Well, this particular one was not. He came back the next Sunday, and I said, he's a real keeper, amen? He's going to be good, good. So he's going to share with you today from the Word of God, and it'll be good. You just be attentive to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God convict you and guide you and lead you. And I guarantee you, if you'll do that, if you'll let the Spirit mold you, you'll leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of God. So, Brother Kirkland, you come on.
Amen. You got me turned on? Amen. Good to see y'all. Man, y'all have grown up. Some of us have grown out. Amen. Glad to be here with you at homecoming, and I do remember that business meeting, brother. I do remember it. I remember walking up to him after that business meeting, and he says he knew we were visitors. Why in the world would visitors hang out on a Wednesday night? Well, it was a church called Sardis, you know, the dead church. So we were curious to what was going on there, and I told him, I said, brother, I may just hang around. If you're that tough, you're probably going to need some help. So 20 years later, I'm up here, and I appreciate the church allowing me to come speak tonight. I love this church. It's my home church. It'll always be my home church. We helped put this together for you guys, and God's filling it up and using it. And I'm not usually a crybaby, but my cup gets full sometimes. You know, family's hard to speak to. Family's hard to speak to because you love them. And when you tell them the truth, sometimes it can go both ways, and they know you. They know you a little bit, so they understand. I want to introduce my family. My wife, Pam, you all know her. She's been my wife for 31 years and put up with me. We got our three boys. The ones, Michael, he went to Children's Church, and we got Michael and Andrew, and the woman over there on the end has loved me for 63 years, and that would be my mother. She's fixing to have her 83rd birthday here pretty soon. We're glad she's here with us this morning. Thank you most of all to my brother in Christ, Paul, a faithful friend, a faithful pastor, a faithful follower of Christ, a man who loves God, who loves God's word, who loves God's family, loves his family, and he loves his wife. And it's evident in their lives, and, you know, when we have our marriage conferences, Paul and Marianne would come, and they'd always talk about, you know, Paul, he's a pretty humble guy, but he'd always brag about how him and Marianne never fight, never argue, and never have a disagreement. I'm going like, come on, brother. You know, I've seen you beat the water when the fish come off. You know, I know you get a little sideways. Matter of fact, I heard him say a four-letter word one day when one come off. He said crud, 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 crud. He said he weighed 10. I said since he got off, he probably weighed 12. Amen. So, but we thought about that, and we talked about how him and Marianne got along and never argued. And I just said, man, I just don't know how y'all do it. And Marianne says, well, I do. We both love Paul. Amen. Amen. It's my great humble brother. I love you. I told you one day I would get the mic. I'm not done yet. So, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 64, chapter 64. We're going to work with the first two verses this morning, and I have a message entitled "When God Comes Down." When God comes down, we need revival in our churches, a stirring up of God's people, where Holy Ghost repentance occurs. The saved and the unsaved get right with God. God always moves when his children desire him and him alone. when God the Creator came down and walked with the creation in the garden and said it was good because there was no sin. Then sin separated man from God's presence. And Jesus stepped out of heaven to save us. Using a cross because of our sins, Jesus was nailed to and died on a cross, even though he was found to be sinless, all because of our sins. His sinless blood was poured out and found to be sufficient sacrifice for all men's sins for all time. The resurrection occurred just as the prophets had foretold, where on the third day Jesus rose from the dead to have victory over death and sin forever. Jesus came down because it was necessary because of our sin. God loves to come down and be with his people. When the sacrifice of all men's sin was completed by the work of God through Christ, Christ was finished and returned to the right hand of God the Father, but God wasn't finished. God sent his Spirit down to man. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven and fell on his church. That's all those that have received him by faith through grace, his grace, and received and accepted the gospel of Christ. To fill us and give us victory over sin in our day-to-day lives. We don't live for victory. We live from victory. The victory has already been won by Christ at the cross, where our sinless Savior displayed his love for us on the cross and gave his own life for us. And he gave, and when he was raised on the third day, he had victory, and we had victory over death, hell, and the grave. God came down in the form of the Holy Spirit and gave the church power to preach God's word with boldness. He gave the church power to be unified. They met together. They suffered together. They broke bread together. They shared all that they had together. They used their differences, their gifts, to serve one another. There was power in the church. There was provision in the church. There was protection in the church, all because God came down to us. God's coming again. My friends, Jesus is coming again to claim his bride. Will you be ready when Jesus comes down? I sure hope so. If not, you can be today. You can be today because God is present here today with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's present. He's in this room, this very room. The awesome God that we read about in Scriptures from the beginning to the end is present here this morning. If you will, look at the Scriptures with me this morning as I read. I went through my Brother Paul checklist this morning. I got my white shirt, my tie, in my jacket, my King James Bible. What else did I do on my checklist? Oh, I've got a I did my joke. I won't have a poem. I just can't do that for you guys. But my sermon has three P's in it, okay? So if you will keep up with me on that this morning. Isaiah, speaking from the Word of God through the Isaiah the prophet, chapter 64, verses 1 and 2. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Let us pray. Father God, we do come to you this morning asking for your anointing on each and every heart this morning that be touched. And as we understand and as we hear the Scripture, and I was listening to the song speaking of the tremble and the understanding that you put on us, and it's, that tremble is a tremble of love that you have for us that convicts us of our sins. And God, as we stand here before you today or sit here before you today, I pray that each and every one of us answer the call that you've put on our lives this morning. I ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's for his glory. Amen. The presence of revival, the presence of the revival is when God comes down. It's when God comes down. We see here that the prophet Isaiah starts with two words, "Oh, that." It's a begging plea from the prophet Isaiah for his nation of Israel. They were backslid. They were doing went directions God hadn't never intended for them to go. But their busy lives carried them away into a time where there was no presence of God. And it was a burden on Isaiah. See, we need a burden. Everybody in this church needs a burden from God on them this morning. And then the power of God will be evident. See, the saints of God need to be burdened. We need to be burdened with the presence of God on our lives. We don't need to be burdened and concerned about other people. We need to be burdened and concerned about the presence of God on our lives. Jabez had a burden. 1 Chronicles 4:10, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that request. See, Jabez had a burden to be kept from evil. So he asked God for that burden to be laid on his heart so that it wouldn't grieve him. Oh, Job had a burden. Amen. Job lost it. He was taken, everything was taken from him, but he never faltered. Job said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together." In Job 6:8, he said, "Oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." Job also said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Praise the Lord for the burden that Job had for God to understand his calamities and knew that God understood everything that was going on. Nothing was a surprise to God that was going on. And to the point that it was written in a book. Praise the Lord for his book this morning. David had a burden. King David had a burden. He said in Psalm 107 verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his goodness, Sardis, and for his wonderful works to the children of man." What is your begging plea for God in your life this morning? Jabez's was to keep from evil. Job's burden was that God would understand his grief and all the confusion in his life. David's burden was that men would praise God for his goodness. I'm going to ask you again this morning, what is your burden? What is your burden that God's laying on your heart? Isaiah continued, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens." He wanted to roll back the sky because he knew that God was in the heavens, that God would reveal himself to his people. Isaiah wanted to see his people see God. He wanted them to understand that. Is that your burden today? For God to reveal himself to you? He will. He'll come out and he'll reveal himself to us. He does that through the power of his Holy Spirit. For God to reveal himself to you, for to reveal himself to your family, to reveal himself to your friends, to reveal himself to your acquaintances. Is that your desire? It should be. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are commanded to carry forth the gospel, to teach, to preach, and to reach others with the gospel. We are commanded. We have to ask God to come down to us. Isaiah was begging now, "Oh, that thou would come down. Oh, that thou would come down." Why? Isaiah knew God. When God showed up, it was always to bless anyone who desired to follow him. Do you desire to follow him this morning? If you do, he'll come down and be part of your life. He'll come down and be next to you. We must have a desire for a burden for God's presence. It starts with a desire for a burden of God's presence. What is your burden this morning? What did you come in here looking for this morning? What was the burden that you brought into the house of the Lord this morning to leave here? Oh, what is your desire to see God come down to do in your life? We stay so concerned about others, we forget about our own spiritual growth. See, when God comes down, things happen. The scripture says that mountains melt and shake. Oh, what kind of mountains are we talking about? The mountains of bigotry. The bigotry, the attitude and the ignorance and the arrogance that walks around in our lives sometimes, and we forget who our Father is, that we forget who should be in control of our lives and not ourselves. Maybe it's the mountain of pride that needs to be melted in your life and be shaken by the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe it's the mountain of procrastination, putting it off till tomorrow. That friend that God's laying on your heart right now that needs to hear this message, take it to him when you leave. Take it to him with the love and grace that God has poured out on your life. Maybe it's the mountain of unforgiveness. Nothing will stifle a church more than unforgiveness. People hanging on to the past. I tell my grandboys that are with us, you know, I'm 63 and need to lose about 63. Amen. And I'm still a pretty stout guy, and I'm a big, you know, and I'm pretty strong, and I'm pretty proud of that, but I'm not strong enough to drag my past around with me everywhere I go. The church needs to learn forgiveness. There's people in this room that need to forgive each other. You need to get over it. Christ got over it, and we need to understand that. Melt that mountain of unforgiveness, stubbornness. The mountain of stubbornness and ungodliness and complacency. Cultural Christianity, it's killing us. It's killing us trying to look like the world and live like we're children of God. It'll never work. It's never work. That's why these Israelites were in the problem they were in. It's because they wanted to look like the world. And Isaiah was calling God down for them. When God comes down, the Bible says that sinners will shake. It says that the nations may tremble in verse 2. That nations may tremble. The lost will see God's love in his church. People will see the power of God's presence among his people. The Holy Spirit starts convicting hearts of sin. Sinners shake with repentance. And then God comes down to fellowship. He comes down to fellowship. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. For God to be present in our lives, we have to be a holy vessel. Have you ever read about the temples? All the things that God wanted in specific order, and how he wanted the Holy of Holies organized a specific way so that he could come down. It's the same way in our Christian life. He wants us to be repentant and full of his Spirit and live in a holy life and walk in what we talk. And he wants to come down and be part of our lives. Oh, my friend, God wants to come down this morning. Will you let him? Christ Jesus stands at the door and knocks at the heart of man. Will you let him in? If you will, he'll come in. He'll come in. Will you open the door and invite him in? God wants to come down and be with his children. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me. It's his desire. That's why he gave his life on a cross, so he could spend eternity with me and with you and with everyone. We have to understand that the nations tremble. Believers repent to God and practice forgiveness among themselves. The unsaved cry out for mercy, and God, through his sovereign grace, will hear their cry and save them from their sins. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. Those simple songs that we sing, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. When you girls are singing and you guys are singing and you're just saying, Jesus, there's just something about that name, Jesus. I just love to say that word, Jesus. I have a friend, a preacher that I've met, and they got onto him in church because he says Jesus too much. Well, they need to find a church that doesn't preach about Jesus, and then they'll be having a good time, I guess, going to hell. I don't know. But if you don't preach about Jesus, there's nothing better than the word Jesus. He stands at the door and knocks. Believers will need to practice forgiveness. The unsaved cry out for mercy, and God, through his sovereign grace, will hear their cry and save them from their sins. How do I know that? 34 years ago, Jesus Christ changed my life. Changed my life. Never been the same. Oh, I've had some bad times. I've had some bumps. I've had some good times, and I've had some bad times. And I'm going to tell you one thing. God has never let go of me. I am sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing I can do because of the precious blood of Jesus will allow me to escape this life without going to heaven. How about you this morning, friend? Has God come down on your life? See, when God comes down, men, husbands, daddies, lives are changed. They start loving their wives as Christ loved the church. They prepare the doorpost of their homes with the Word of God. They teach their families how to pray. They teach their families how to work. They teach their families what trust is and what integrity is. Their children rise up and call them blessed. They teach their families to be submissive to the Lordship of Christ because of the changed life they are displaying, because of their dependency on God. You see, when God comes down, women, wives, mamas, lives are changed. They are moved to a submissive spirit that comes from the demonstration of Christ-likeness around her. Not a submissive spirit because she is inferior to the man, but she knows that she is equally created by God to work alongside him. Amen? Created uniquely different to fulfill God's purpose in the life of her family in the home. Teaching their children to love their father. Teaching the younger women in the church. Teaching her children to live a life that has been changed and is being changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God wants to come down this morning, church. When he does, children's lives are changed. They will desire to please their parents. They will desire to walk confidently in Christ. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Are we raising our children the way they should go? Are we raising them the way that we go? It's a big question this morning. I'm going to tell you. This cultural Christianity stuff is wrecking the church. Wrecking the church. I get asked this question a lot, Brother Paul. Is it okay to drink? No. No. I lived a life of it. And I can tell you, you want to read the instances of the Bible, what results of drinking cause. I'm not going to get into the back and forth if you just have a little bit. Or if you have a lot. He says, no strong drink and don't be drunk. That's good enough for me. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone because that's just a big part of cultural Christianity, and I know it upsets folks, but that's just too bad. I was a teetotaler before I met Brother Paul, and when he gets through with you, you'll definitely be a teetotaler. Amen. Train up a child in the way it should go. They're looking at you, Daddy. They're watching your mama. They know what you keep in your refrigerator. They know what you keep in the back of the cabinet behind the flour or in the top shelf behind the old dishes. The kids, they know what goes on in your home. You don't hide anything from our kids. Raise them in the way that they should go with the Lord. Our first point, the presence of revival is when God comes down. Ask for his people. Ask for his presence this morning. Second point, the preparation of revival, or the prevention of revival, is a complacency of sin in our lives. That's what keeps the church from having revival, is the complacency of sin in our lives. In verse 6 here in 64, he says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And all we do, we fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Folks, we are corrupted by sin every day. Unclean. Cultural Christianity, easy believism, loose living is destroying our lives. Churches, most members spend more time feasting and playing than they do fasting and praying. Amen. We need to watch those things in our life. Lukewarmness is sickening to God. He tells us he'll spew us out of our mouth. We need to love God with all our hearts or not at all. We don't need no middle ground in our churches. There's enough of that going on outside. All our righteousness is filthy rags. Our rags of self-righteousness. Our rags of finances, claiming to be from hard work and how good a job you did and to be a self-made man. All those types of righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. You're not necessarily blessed financially because you're a believer. That's not a track record of how well you believe. It's how well you've been blessed. This old world can send you plenty of money. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, when you die, it's nothing but filthy rags to God. All our works done apart from the Spirit of God, our righteousness, is filthy rags. We are gathering as much as we can when we ought to be giving as much as we can. I'm going to repeat that because y'all are Baptists. And by the way, you know that Yankee Candle fragrance that they have? Y'all got some Southern candle going on. That smell like baked ham to me all the way up here. Oh, my goodness. And there's a Baptist buffet, I understand, on the other side of that wall. Praise the Lord. We're gathering as much as we can when we ought to be giving as much as we can. The scripture is clear. Prove me. Prove me in your tithes and offerings. I'm not coming up here whipping up a sermon to get you guys giving. If you ain't giving, you need to learn to give. God will bless you. He'll bless you. It may not be with money. If you're giving to get money, you're giving for the wrong reason. You just give because God said to give. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We're serving ourselves as much as we can when we should be serving others as much as we can. We're serving ourselves as much as we can when we should be serving others as much as we can. See, our righteousness is but filthy rags. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Everything he was chasing in life, he realized was nothing but a bunch of poop. Dung. Everything that he was chasing beyond the riches that Christ had for him. If it's not about Jesus, my friends, it's dung. If it's not about Jesus, it's dung. It says here in the scripture that we fade like a leaf. Not one of us knows if we'll be here tomorrow. James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away." Poof, you're gone. We're just here for a very short while. Just as the mighty kingdoms and just as the mighty castles, just as the mighty countries of yesteryear are filled today with the dust of kings, with the dust of its leaders, and with the dust of its people, so shall our filthy rags be. We fade like a leaf. "For thou hast hid thy face from us." We allow sin to separate us from God, and we have no power in our lives. Boy, I was excited I got here this morning. Chris Cadillac walked up to me, and I've been praying for Chris. Power of God. Power of God healing Chris. There's some that hadn't made it. We've got some friends that are on the ventilators right now. Mojo Witt, y'all need to pray for her. And her friend Andy and his two daughters. You need to pray for her. Their mama's in the hospital on a ventilator this morning with the COVID. I don't know what side of the fence you're on with the COVID, and I don't really care, but COVID is real. It is real. And we need to understand that. And we allow sin to separate us. We have no power. We have no provision from God. We're working our fingers to the bones, the old country song says. And what do you get? Bony fingers. Bony fingers, that's all we'll get from it. We are on our own because of sin. Sin has separated us from God. Not only has it separated us from God, it says sin has consumed us. We are saturated day in and day out. Our TVs bombard us. Our radios bombard us. Our places of employment bombard us. Our churches bombard us. We are saturated with sin all around us. We are controlled by sin if we're not careful, because we get ourselves involved in ungodly activity. Ungodly activity. Hey, I tell you, when I was growing up, I loved to play baseball. I was actually pretty good at it. Just ask me. No, you can ask my 83-year-old mother over there. I know she wouldn't tell the story. But I love the baseball. But praise God, back in the day, they didn't have no baseball practice on Wednesdays. They didn't have no tournaments on Sunday. And you know what? As long as them three boys live with me, they won't have none on Wednesdays, and they won't have no Sundays. I don't care what kind of baseball they play until they get out of my house. But I'm going to tell you, it's not worth it to sacrifice your children for ungodly activities that saturate us. We've scheduled and calendared the Lord right out of our lives. We end up with busy lives. I don't know about y'all, but it's hard to sit down and just try to read God's word for an hour. But I can tell you, I know people that listen to Rush is dead, isn't he? Dust. But I know people that listen to that talk radio for hours. They watch Fox News for hours, but they don't have time to read their scripture. We need to put God back in our lives. The sin of omission is the greatest of all sins. I want you to write that down. The sin of omission is the greatest of all sins. A preacher asked the question one time, what is the sin of omission? A little boy named Dennis. Where you at, Dennis? Amen. A little boy named Dennis spoke up and said, that's the sins that we're not supposed to do that we haven't done yet. We can just chuckle at that. But we have to understand that it's not true. That is the sins that we are not supposed to do that we haven't done yet. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is a greater sin. It is a greater sin to fail to do what you know to do than to do what you ought not to do. When God tells you to do something, you need to do it. When you back away from it, that sin in your life causes you to be saturated. The sin of omission is the greatest of all sins, because all sins are created because of omission. Because of our iniquities, we stray. The scripture says our iniquities, we stray. Those iniquities, the perversion of God's word, the Hebrew word translates out as a perverted God's word, or living mischievous lives outside of God's will, trying to hide your life outside of God's will when maybe you're not. You put on your church clothes and you put on your church look and you do your church things and you check all your Sunday school and living boxes. You bring your Bibles and you make sure that they're folded open and you do all those things during the day. But you have mischief outside of God's will for our lives. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him to endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, God wants to come down this morning. He wants to come down on each and every one of us. We have the prevention of revival. Is the complacency of sin. We become separated by sin. We become saturated with sin. We stray towards sin. Oh, but then there's the purpose. The purpose of revival is the conviction of believers. People think revival is just calling in a big gun fancy preacher and getting folks saved. No, that's the result of revival. What happens is when God's people turn to His name, first thing they have to do is get right with God. Get right with God this morning. God will meet them that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, it says in verse 5. Those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for he hath sinned in those in continuance. Yet we shall be saved. We shall be saved this morning. And because his mercy endures forever. We need to get right with God this morning. We need to repent. As God stirs and shakes your heart this morning, for the believer, we need to repent. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to repent of your sins this morning, and God will save you. He'll come down and be part of your life. Not only does the purpose of the revival is for the conviction of believers to get right with God, but to put yourself at God's disposal. Put yourself at God's disposal. Verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we art the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are the work of thy hand." Allow God to use you for his glory. Oh, it excites me when I look up here and I see friends from years gone by. Most all of you's hairs turn colors. Some of them's turn loose. Brother Paul was talking 20 years ago. My hair was a lot darker then. Yours is a lot thicker, Brother Paul. Amen. But we have to put ourselves at God's disposal. God used his glory in the name of Jesus Christ to save our souls. He sent his glory, he sent his best down to this earth to save us from our sins. What are we doing for God? What kind of disposal are we putting ourselves through? What kind of rigidities are we allowing in our lives? How are we pushing back against the cares of this world to serve God? I'm going to tell you guys something. Brother Paul shared that I had did some evangelism and spoke at rodeos and spoke in all different kinds of environment. Pam and I had a business and concrete business and wanted to retire, and our goal to retire, this was our goal to retire, was to put as much time in ministry as we had put in, had we had put in our business. To pour as much time into ministry, that was our retirement plan. Ever how long that is? I had no idea God was calling me to a church 3.5 years ago. Had no idea that God was calling me to a church. A place that I had preached a while back because of they knew me from my rodeo ministry, called me to that church and asked me to preach. And I was right back there on the corner of the building one night. Kim, I believe you were there, and my wife, and I got a text. "Would you like to consider being our pastor?" From the church that I preached at. I started laughing. I knew it was coming. It was in my spirit, but we have to have ourselves that God's readiness to be ready at his disposal. My wife would tell you she was never cut out to be a pastor's wife. Amen. I was never cut out to be a pastor. I'm a preacher. I can't love folks like Paul does, but I'm learning. I can't care about y'all like Paul does, but I'm learning. And that's where we need to be when we put ourselves at God's disposal and allow him to teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of revival is to get right with God, to put yourself at God's disposal. And here's the toughest part. Band together and pray. Band together. Be unified. The Bible says that we confess our sins one to another. Oh! What is sin? Anything that we know that we're supposed to do that we don't do, that's sin. That's what the Scripture just said. I just read it to you. We need to be confessing that one to another, not so that we can rub somebody's face in their sin, but so that we can encourage them, so that we can give them some accountability, so that they know our weaknesses, so that Brother Paul knows my weaknesses, I know his, and we can discuss them. How are you doing with that, brother? How are you doing with that, sister? Let me pray for you with that. We need to band together and pray. God will hear us. God will hear us. Oh, I think about the church in Acts 4:31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken." Shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I had another verse on here that I'd taken off that you read this morning about Paul and Silas. They were singing praises unto God while they had been beaten and were tied down in a dark prison. They were singing praises to God to the point to the place was shaken and the doors fell open. The guard that was guarding them, the Scripture says, was convicted of his sin and trembled. Trembled. That's what happens when God comes down. That's what happens when God comes down on our life. See, revival doesn't come because of good preaching. Revival doesn't come to a church because of good programs. It doesn't come to church because of good discipleship. Revival happens when God's people have a burden to get right with Him, and then God comes down on His people. As we prepare for invitation this morning, God's here this morning. He's here in His presence this morning. God has come down to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants to shake this place this morning. Oh, He's shaking it right now. He's shaking some hearts. Sometimes we see it when you stand up, you just squeeze the chairs. Good thing for this memory foam. Some of you, it takes 2 or 3 days for it to come back. Can I challenge the believers here this morning? It all starts with God's people. Believers getting right with God, to have a burden for ministry. Not this ministry, but your ministry. He's given each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you have a burden this morning? Do you have that burden? Oh, that God would come down. Give it to Jesus this morning. Whatever's weighting you down, let that burden be on a ministry that God has. Be willing to put yourself at God's disposal. Repent of the sin of omission. We all have it. We all have things in our life that we know that God's called us to do and called us to say, and people that have told us to go visit, and we just put it off. Let God be the potter and shape your life this morning. Let Him be the one that's shaping and molding. He created you. He knows what you need. He knows how to shape you. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring for you. Romans 12:1, He wants a living sacrifice. He doesn't want our dead, wore out, filthy rags leftovers. Be willing to put yourself at God's disposal. And for believers to desire to band together and pray. When we do that, it releases the power of God this morning through prayer. We can release the power of God this morning through prayer. We will have prayer in a moment. And we're going to ask God to move. And I can tell you that there'll be some trembling hearts because God is here this morning in this place, convicting each and every one of us. Desire to band together and pray. Release the power of God in this place, that it can be shaken by the Holy Spirit for Jesus Christ this morning, our Lord and our Savior and our King. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, God's grace will come down to you this morning, and you shall be saved, my friend. It starts by realizing you are a sinner. The shaking going on inside of you right now is God speaking to your heart through the power of His Holy Spirit. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Don't turn Him away. Trust in Jesus. Just trust and obey. How do you follow Jesus? Just trust and obey. There's no other way. The Bible says that if you have never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. To speak with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. We have to understand that in our lives. It's not just the simple prayer. It's dealing with the shaking that's going on in our hearts this morning. It's dealing with the sin and the corruption that keeps us separated from God, that keeps us saturated from the work that He has for us and keeps us from being the witness that He had. I'm going to tell you, my friends, if we'll get band together and pray as we have invitation, God will come down this morning. God will come down on Sardis Church in a way that He never has before and change lives, not because of our preaching, but because the Holy Spirit loves us and wants to bless us. God will come down this morning for His children. God, if you've never accepted Him, He'll come down for you this morning. The power of His grace will be poured out on your life. Whatever your need is this morning, God's Spirit is waiting to come to you. When God comes down. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do come to you as we open this time up. Lord, for you to speak to the hearts, that sin would be poured out so that you could bless it through the precious blood of your Son. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning that you could remove that sin from our lives. God, that we would just give it to you. And Lord, we just ask for your presence this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.